So what am I talking about today? I'm putting the title, over culture, subculture, and finding community. And I almost thought about adding, you know, in a religious context or in the context of spirituality. But something I've been thinking about a lot for the last week or so is how many of us who have deconstructed, especially if you were in leadership, especially if you were in some kind of full-time ministry, whether it was, you know, pastoring or a traveling ministry or worship leader, maybe you headed up to children's church or the youth ministry or something like that, and you find yourself deconstructing from your faith and discover pretty quickly that even though we wanted to believe or said or thought that the foundation of the Christian faith is love and grace and mercy and all that kind of stuff, it really doesn't get practiced very well in relationships within the church. And it certainly does not get practiced very well when people have questions or when people disagree with the groupthink or with the culture. maybe you don't even disagree. Maybe you just, you know, during the pandemic decided that you liked Sundays, better by not being in church every Sunday. You enjoyed your time better, or you, in other words, maybe you didn't totally deconstruct from your faith like I have, but you changed the way you participated in the religious culture and the Christian culture, and you can find yourself, to some degree, losing a support system, losing friendships, but also just that sort of sense that you're on a journey with people together, that you're doing this thing together. That you're growing and experiencing things in a spiritual context or even just a self-improvement context or whatever. When we were in church, we had a group that thought the same, did the same things. So therefore you automatically have some things in common. And there was an element of support for a lot of us that would come from the community, especially if we were involved. And like I said, especially if we were in ministry. Now I realize this topic probably is geared or better suited for a younger audience. I realize that most of my audience is middle age or older, and that makes sense because oftentimes when you deconstruct from anything, whether it's your faith, whether it's changing a career, there can be a lot of changes that happen to us in midlife because our priorities change. We realize that we've got we don't have as many decades left. So our time becomes more important. Our decisions become more important. How we, you know, our values can become rearranged. And so this may be, content that's better suited to younger people. So you let me know in the chat and in the comments what you think, but let's define some terms. What is overculture? Overculture is the norm in the society in which we live. And it can be hard to find norms in today's society because there is quite a bit of diversity. I think we have done a good job in overculture, at least making people aware of diversity and trying to make place for people. Now, certainly that may not count in white Christian nationalism or ultra conservatism, where we want to just keep the overculture a certain way and then expect everybody to conform their lives and themselves to some extent, more or less, to whatever the overculture says. So here's an example of overculture, right? There are certain expectations that have to be met. So for the most part, overculture still is heterosexual, definitely binary and gender identification. And there's sort of a checklist that you go through. So in my case, there was definitely a checklist of going to school, doing your homework, getting good grades, participating in extracurricular activities and doing well in those, whether it's sports, whether it was things like 4-H. My family, especially my sisters, were involved in a lot of stuff. We were in 4-H. we were, and my sisters did really well. I didn't do as well in 4-H. But my sisters, my older sisters certainly did, you know, excelled at that. And then there was, you know, athletics, things like football, basketball. In my case, it was cross country and swimming. And you expect it to letter, place, achieve, that kind of stuff. So you put your energy and your effort into that. Certainly getting the right kind of friends, making sure that you have friends, trying to be one of the cool kids in school. And then after high school, going on to college to prepare yourself for a career, preferably some kind of a professional career, white collar career. I realize this isn't describing overculture for everybody. I'm describing the overculture that I grew up in as an example. And then when you're in college, definitely finding your mate for life, your spouse. If you got out of college without being married, that was a bit of a concern because the belief was, you know, that all the good ones were taken. And then, you know, after you get married, you get into your job, you work your 9-to-5 job, preferably, you work your 40-hour-a-week job, you do it well, you invest with a strong work ethic into it, start saving for retirement, pay your bills on time, and then hopefully buy a house, and then have kids, and then raise your kids to perpetuate the same culture. So the expectations would be the same, that they go to school, that they do well in school, they do their homework, that they get involved in extracurricular activities, that they achieve, and that's, you know, setting them up for success, that you teach them about fidelity and marriage, relationships. The expectation is one relationship, one marriage. In my case, the expectation was one sexual partner. We didn't believe, and we were taught very strongly against sex outside of marriage or sex before marriage. And so you generally kind of start instilling those same values and same course direction into everybody else. Joyce says 70, yes. We may be going through midlife, quote, midlife crisis. Love it. Monica says so many expectations. It's exhausting. There are expectations. And where do these expectations come from? These expectations come from the overculture. And if you divert from these expectations, now think about this. Nothing that I'm talking about, if you miss one of those boxes, if you don't check it, or if you just decide that doesn't work for me, that doesn't fit for me, and you do something else, none of this is really in any way related to ethics or morals or, you know, not living well, being criminal, being immoral, being amoral, stuff like that. So, for example, if you decided not to go to college, decided not to make a bunch of money, and, you know, lived in a smaller place or whatever, lived as a minimalist, lived with some friends so you kept your expenses cheap, and maybe you work and save up a bunch of money and then quit your job and go travel because you want to see other places. Maybe you work for a year, save up money, and then you go 3 months and live in Europe, and then you come back and you start all over again. Just throwing out examples. That wouldn't fit with that overculture model that I laid out earlier in the episode. But it's certainly not immoral. And so here's where the problem becomes, because we can, if we're trying to fit into the overculture, which is the expectation, and we don't quite measure up, or it doesn't fit for us, or we're a little bit different than everybody else around us, or we feel different than everybody else around us, then we can start to feel like we're wrong. We can start to feel like there's something wrong with us. There's some kind of a shortcoming in us. And especially in this day and age with social media, I know for the younger crowd, they'll start comparing themselves. It, you know, it cracks me up. I mean, at 20-something, I felt like I had fallen behind because I didn't go to college right away. Well, I went to college right away, but I dropped out. I dropped out and worked a retail job. And so when my classmates were getting their degrees and their careers in their very early 20s, I started to feel like I was behind. I was behind. And that really goes on with social media today. We can compare our actual real life with people's presentation of themselves on social media, and we can start to feel like we are, you know, everybody else is happier than us, everybody else is doing better than us, things of that nature, right? But my point is that we start to feel like we are wrong. Now, here's what I'm starting to realize about myself. One of the things I realize about myself is that I am definitely believe I am neuroatypical. Not going to use the term neurodivergent or neurodiverse. I think that would mean different things, but I'm not neurotypical for sure. And there's definitely things, you know, that I geek out on that can drive people nuts. There's definitely times that I miss out completely and totally on social cues. There's definitely times that I've sat there and thought, how did they figure out life? And, or I'll look at people that are doing life more in line with what I perceive the overculture to be around me. And I think they must be doing life better than I'm doing life. And so I'm just wondering, you know, for this group specifically, people that listen or watch or follow, or in the New Day Global Facebook group, I'm wondering if you struggled most of your life, if not all of your life, feeling like you didn't fit in, feeling like, I don't know, being facetious here, but feeling like some alien species dropped you off here and then left you. You feel like E.T. in the movie E.T., right? Like your ship crash landed here and you're looking around at all the overculture and you're having trouble making sense out of it. You're having trouble making sense out of different things in life. Definitely you feel like you don't fit in. You feel like it's hard to find your tribe and you're like E.T. trying to figure out how to phone home and get yourself back home. Cause I, this is where subcultures come in and this is where I want to tie it in with, spirituality and religion. So subcultures would be, anything that's within the culture, but that does not conform to the overculture. In other words, it could even be counter-cultural. Robert says, I used to love a website called Wrong Planet, if that tells you anything. That's funny. So I'm guessing you can relate, Robert. That's cool. But I'm curious if any of the rest of you can relate to this. So subcultures would be a good example of subculture would be the, let's just say the LGBTQ plus community, the queer community. That could definitely be considered a subculture because there still isn't broad acceptance. It's much better than it used to be, but there's still too much pushback, especially on the gender issues. And I know, quite a few, and I've worked with quite a few people in that community and know that they still don't feel like they're part of the overculture. And so there can be lots of, you know, groups and meetups and various different things where that becomes a subculture. But other examples of subculture would be, you know, emos, people that are emos or gothic, people that generally like sort of that gothic kind of thing. You can think about that as a subculture, the fascination with, I'm just trying to think of different subcultures. Furries for sure, would be considered a subculture. People that are into cosplay. In other words, you know, grown-ass adults that like to, have parties and dress up in costumes, maybe dress up as animals, their favorite animal, or just, you know, their favorite superhero or whatever. that's a whole subculture. That can be a group of people that hang out together. Science fiction nerds. And again, I'm not trying to be offensive. I'm trying to highlight the difference between overculture and subculture. But people that are really, you know, just heavily into science fiction and go to all kinds of, you know, I don't know, comic cons or science fiction conventions, things like that. There is a whole subculture of people out there that love My Little Ponies, you know, and they gather together around their love of My Little Ponies, but they're kind of their own little culture. And so those are people that I think on some level recognize, I don't fit in here. I don't fit in with the overculture. I'm really into these things, whatever it may be. There's also polyamorous groups. There's a polyamorous, dating website. And that's something that definitely, I don't see anything at all wrong with that. But that's definitely something that the overculture, it would still be taboo. It'd still be hard for you to come out if that fit for you and really feel accepted by the people that raised you, by your family or by society as a whole, or at least it would be natural to have those fears, maybe the same kind of fears that a person would have who has a different sexual orientation or who identifies as a different gender than what they were assigned at birth. Coming out as that can have a lot of fear, a lot of anxiety. There can be a lot of shame attached with that. Because again, this isn't a moral issue. It really isn't. Even though the church tries to make it that way, and we've got, you know, our favorite scriptures that we love to quote that tell us, how if you're not performing or fitting in with the overculture of the church, that somehow then you are sinning against God, as though God is the one that establishes the overculture from the Bible. And, you know, that brings up an interesting thought experiment. If we're not alone in the universe, if there are other species of sentient, intelligent, self-reflective beings like human beings that exist, whether it's in other dimensions or on other planets, do they have the same overculture? Do they have the same guidelines as what's in the Bible? If we were to show up there and find a group that was in touch with the Creator, would they look like Christian churches here? Would their families look the same? Would their marriages look the same? Would their culture, in other words, the way that they conduct their lives, working 40-hour week jobs, capitalism, would capitalism be part of their society and their culture, or would it be something different? And if it was something different and they were genuinely in touch with the Creator, then we know for sure that adhering to the overculture of the church or not adhering to the overculture of the church does not make one righteous or a sinner, righteous or evil. And this is the problem, because the overculture, particularly in the church, will tell you, the church culture will tell you, it has to look like this. You have to look like this. You have to live your life this way. You have to do these things. And if you don't do these things, then you are a sinner and God is going to punish you. But also, if you do these things, then you are righteous. And so when we don't fit in or we start exploring different things, perhaps being attracted to subculture groups, then all of a sudden we're not the righteous ones. We are the unrighteous ones. And so I have this idea, I have this hypothesis that people in America, at least, who identify as spiritual but don't necessarily align with anything that is remotely consistent with the Abrahamic faiths, then they're definitely not conforming to the overculture. Now, if you're an atheist, to some extent, you're conforming to the overculture, particularly the intellectual overculture, because definitely the overculture intellectually, scholastically, academically, scientifically in this country is very much atheistic and geared towards scientific materialism. So atheism, I would not consider to be a subculture. And I'm not trying to split hairs, but I'm just saying it's just a different aspect of overculture. So it's not on the same level, say, as someone who decides that they are going to be a Satanist, or someone who decides that they're going to go into paganism or Wicca or some sort of alternative form of spirituality that does not conform itself or use the language of Christ consciousness, that does not use Western modes and models and language that, again, is consistent with the Abrahamic faiths, Judaism, Christianity, or even Islam. And so it's interesting to think about, right? Like someone who just decides that they're going to be a pagan or that they're going to practice Wicca. And I suppose there are ways to find those groups as well, right? Especially with online access. I'm sure there are meetups. I'm sure there are groups that meet. Sometimes these can be harder to find because they are not evangelistic in the sense that you have to become, you have to practice Wicca in order to be right with God. You have to practice paganism in order to keep the gods of the area happy and pleased so that we don't have natural disaster, or we can stave off diseases or something like that. So there's no reason to be, for them to put themselves out there or for them to be proselytizing and stuff like that. So it can be difficult then, to find those groups, but I'm sure there's still ways to do that. And I would venture a guess that if you talk to people within those groups and that had those interests and then found their community there, you're probably going to discover that they identify with other, that they disidentify with the overculture in various different other ways, if that makes sense to you. So in other words, you might find out that if they practice paganism, that they're also, maybe into, erotically diverse relationships. They may be more likely to be polyamorous, or, they may be more likely to be part of the LGBTQ community, or things of that nature. Now, again, these are just, this is just a hypothesis. This is just something that I've been thinking about and throwing out there, partly because I'm really coming to grips with the fact that, that all of my life I've had this sort of countercultural current, even though I did the things, you know, checked the boxes. There was part of me the entire time that resented the fact that I was checking the boxes. And even though I was a pastor in a Christian church, our church was uniquely different. I think if you talk to anybody who attended, spent time there, we were uniquely different. And I was consistently pushing the envelope, critiquing the overculture of the evangelical church, always challenging various different issues. People always thought I was a heretic, not like I am today, but they always thought, you know, I was preaching something heretical, that I was a false teacher. I remember someone is still a very dear friend of ours, whose wife became sick. She's since passed on, but she became sick with a terminal illness. And I remember there was an evangelist who I think came up from Texas, all the way from Texas, and sat down with this family and basically said that the reason she was sick was because they were attending my church and because I was teaching heresy. You know, you're following a heretical pastor. That's why God's not blessing you. That's why God's not healing her. Isn't that really good news? Isn't that wonderful? I mean, and just think about that. Like, this person doesn't even live here, like, has no skin in the game, so to speak. So I'm realizing, you know, even at this stage of my life, that I'm not neurotypical, and that I have always kind of looked at a lot of different scenarios and stuff and thought they were crazy. And in those areas of my life where I didn't check the boxes or feel like I felt in those areas of my life, I secretly and very shamefully felt that I was wrong. I felt that I needed to do better. I needed to conform. And so we have this pressure to conform and then feel like if we're not conforming, we're not doing well enough. And so we push ourselves. We attend conferences. We read books. We go to counseling. We do all kinds of self-help stuff to try to make ourselves fit in with the overculture, because we're, instead of asking the question, what's different about me, instead of looking at something and saying, I don't resonate with what everybody else around here is doing, I don't resonate with this, instead of saying, what's different about me, we ask the question, what's wrong with me? And so I'm suggesting that we reframe the question from what's wrong with me to what's different about me. From a place of curiosity, not from a place of judgment. Like, in other words, not why am I so different? I mean, how's that feel? Somebody, you know, if you ask yourself, why am I so different? Or why am I different in this area than other people? It's a very different feeling than if you say, I wonder why I'm different in this area. I wonder why I'm different from other people. And then don't go into, in any way, if you ask that question, you're doing it from a place of curiosity and wonder and a recognition that there's difference, but then you got to avoid going down the rabbit hole of, oh, this is wrong and this is wrong and this is wrong. In other words, some things just are, gang. You know, it's really common and popular in the therapy world right now that I'm also part of professionally to assign anything that doesn't fit with overculture as something that's a result of trauma. I just don't fit in here because I was traumatized as a child in these areas. I struggle to fit into this particular category because of sexual abuse that happened to me in my past or some other kind of trauma. And that can just be complete bullshit. It can just be that you're different. And in order to be, in order to just be, in order to be comfortable in your own skin, in order to experience freedom and bliss, then you have to accept that it's not that there's anything wrong at all. It's just different. And acknowledging that difference and being okay with that difference and realizing that that difference is not the result of trauma. It's not the result of some developmental gap in your life. It's not the result of, certainly not the result of you just being born in original sin. It's just something that's different. So one of the things that brings me to community, this is where I'll finish up. That brings me to community. And I've been thinking about the need for community, the need for support, to have people in your life that you can share these parts of yourself with, and they don't think you're crazy, or they don't try to, you know, they don't subtly shame you or snicker at you, or they don't try to get you to conform to the overculture. And this is where maybe we can look into some of these subcultures in order to find different community, right? In order to find people that are like us. But you have to identify, you know, what those differences are. And then look for those subcultures and finding that place for support, finding that place for community, finding that place for connection, I think can be super, super helpful and super, super duper important. Because when you deconstruct, like I said, you're leaving that community. You are doing something already. And this is why I'm talking to this group about this topic, because my suspicion is, you know, why do some people get it and see it and see a lot of the doctrines and the teachings and different things for the foolishness that it is and can go through the discomfort of asking the questions and go to the trouble of doing the research to find answers and then go to the trouble and the pain of actually trying to live that out, actually trying to, instead of just, yeah, I don't believe that, and I don't believe that, and I don't believe that, but I'm just here for the community. I'm just jazzed about being on the show. You know, I'm glad I've got different people. In other words, I'm in church. I'm a Christian for the relationships, for the networking, for the opportunities. And I don't really care enough. It's not important to me enough to authentically live out different values, transparently live out different values. I'm okay keeping a boundary there. And I think that's fine. I think it's perfectly fine for people to do that. There's no judgment on that at all. What I'm curious about is that for a lot of us in this community, we have gone to the trouble of saying, of publicly, or if not publicly, publicly in my case certainly, but if not publicly, at least with some of our family members or with some of our friends, maybe we left church, but we felt strongly enough about our deconstruction process that we were willing to live it out to a degree that it cost us some relationships and it cost us some community. And we really had to go online to find that community. We really had to go online, places like social media, YouTube, Facebook, places like this, groups like this, in order to find like-minded people. But there's still a level of disconnection there. And so I guess what I'm putting this out here partly because I'm wondering if anyone would be interested, if you're in the New Day Global group, Facebook group, and if you're watching on YouTube and you'd like to join that, the link to that is in my bio. Would it be valuable to do an occasional Zoom call or something? Somebody that's really technically savvy. To connect people in a supportive way where there can be discussion, not a Zoom call where it's just me talking like this, but where there could be some discussion and some interaction around various different topics. Might have to be limited in size in order to have healthy discussion. So I don't know. I'm just trying to come up with ideas. So yeah, let me know your thoughts. Feel free to message me. Feel free to put it in the comment section. But I've just been thinking about that. I know that's something that's definitely been missing for me in my life. It's always been difficult for me to find my people. It's always been difficult for me to really, even when I had a lot of people that were around me or that I was connected with, to really, truly, authentically be myself, in certain aspects and areas. 'Cause I'm a little bit nerdy. And like I said, I'm pretty sure I'm not neurotypical. And that can be difficult in and of itself. So a couple of things that I'm wondering about, we could do more discussion on, and maybe I could talk more about this tomorrow night in the group. But Robert says, how could that be a bad idea? I don't think it's a bad idea at all, Robert. I'm just not sure how to functionally and practically make it happen. If you bring a bunch of people into a Zoom call and the goal is for people to be able to share and connect, it just depends, you know, I don't know. So anybody that has any ideas on the practical application, that would be awesome. Feel free to get in touch with me. But I'm also wondering about your thoughts about overculture and subculture and where you feel like you fit in terms of those things and where you feel like you've felt fit in with your life in the past. In other words, is part of the deconstruction process for you because you always knew that you didn't really fit in with the overculture and you finally got to a place in your life that you were able to deconstruct from aspects of the overculture. And if that's the case, what are some other aspects of overculture that you might still look at and say, that doesn't really fit for me? And how might you be able to rearrange things in your life so that you can find what fits for you better so that you can feel supported and loved and comfortable in your own skin and happy as you move forward into those things. So with that, I think I'm going to end the show. Thank you so much for the comments and the participation. A little bit out of it this morning. I don't know why. Maybe because it's a little bit of a heavy subject for me, because this whole thing of fitting in has always been a big deal to me. Or maybe it's just because I didn't get a good night's sleep. I don't know. But anyway, a little bit different topic. Really interested in your thoughts. Again, feel free to message me. Feel free to make posts in the New Day Global group around this. Share your thoughts around this. If you are connecting with other people and finding community through the New Day Global community or online or in other areas, like if you've, I don't know, been able to find a pagan group or been able to find some other kind of subculture group that you've been able to find support in a community with, let us know. Let us know. It might give some of the rest of us some ideas on how we can better our lives. I do think having healthy, quality relationships where you can be free to explore yourself and even discover new things about yourself without being judged and put down, I think is really, really important. So anyway, once again, I kept it short today, but thanks everybody for joining. And I'll probably try and do something this week. We'll see what the response is from this. I may try to do something Monday or Tuesday night in the New Day Global group. So anyway, thanks. Have a great rest of your day, evening, whatever time you're watching this. If you're watching by replay, thanks for watching all the way to the end.